She made her way to the river like she did every Sabbath, for the river was the place of worship. Lydia longed for more of God. Lydia was a woman that had a desire for God. She prayed and she worshiped and she led many to this place of worship. There was not a temple, so they made their way to the river every Sabbath. Lydia would cry out to the God Yahweh, 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 the God of the sun and the moon and the stars, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I want to know you. I know there's more to you. I want to know you. I want to know the God of Isaiah and the God of Jacob and the God of Joshua. I want to know the stories that have been told to me. You are there. You are God. And every day she longed for more of God, and she longed for more of God, and she prayed for more of God, and she asked God to come and to speak to her and to reveal himself to her. Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath by the river, she prayed and she worshiped. I'm sure she sang the songs of Miriam and of Moses. She sang worship songs from her heart. She longed and she asked, for she had a hunger for God. Lydia was a very wise woman and a very wealthy woman, for she was from Thyatira. Thyatira was a city known for a very rich and expensive dye, a purple dye, to only be found in Thyatira. Being the entrepreneur and the wise woman that she was, she took the fabric and she had it dyed this beautiful, beautiful purple, and she began to sell the fabric. But being even a wiser woman, she knew that she had to go to a port city. She had to find a place that she could really sell her wares, where people were coming in and people were going out. So she made her way to Philippi, the port city. She set up shop, and she became a very, very wealthy, wealthy woman. Her name was Lydia, and she sold the color purple. Everyone knew her. She was a gracious woman, a good woman, a righteous woman, but she longed for more. Her wealth couldn't satisfy. Her prestige couldn't satisfy. Her servants and family, her home, could not satisfy. The Bible is very clear to tell us she made her way to the river Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. I think to myself as I long and I daily cry out, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. I have so much in my life, but I want more of you. The Bible is clear to say that Lydia and the ladies, because there were ladies that followed her leadership, Sabbath after Sabbath would come and worship. Week after week after week, she, like you and I, cry out for God. One day, coming into this port city, was a man named Paul. Paul has made his way to Philippi. He had heard the Macedonian cry on his way to Asia, and the Holy Spirit redirected him, I believe, for such a time as this, just for Lydia. And he had made his way to that port city of Philippi. There at Philippi, he had asked about where he might make worship on the Sabbath. And they said, there are worshipers at the riverbed. Paul made his way to the riverbed and he looked at the ladies and he said, do you worship God? I'm sure Lydia looked to him and said, of course we worship God. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are worshipers of Yahweh God. And Jesus looked at her and said, have you heard? Have I heard what? Lydia said. Have you heard about him? Who? Lydia said. Have you heard about Jesus? Who is Jesus, she asked, longing in her soul for this one, this mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the only one that could fill her soul. She said, who is this Jesus? Paul said, oh, Lydia, I have met him. For you see, I was on my road on the way in Damascus to persecute Christians. You see, there were followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the incarnate God, the very God of heaven. You see, God left heaven. He left his throne on heaven, in heaven. He came and he clothed himself in humanity. He put on the very God of the universe, put on humanity. He came to earth and his name is Jesus. He came because the Old Testament told us one would come. The Old Testament was very clear. All the stories that Lydia had heard from the Old Testament, all that were handed down to her, Isaiah said that one would come, that he would be a suffering servant, that he would be born of a virgin, he would be born in Bethlehem, and this Jesus was. Paul said, I was a persecutor of that Jesus. You see, I was very religious, and I was very righteous, and I killed and I murdered any Christian. You see, there were those who called themselves Christians. They were just little Christs. They were little people that followed after Jesus. Therefore, we called them Christians. We mocked them by the name. We made fun of them because they were little Christs. So I, at that time, named Saul, I persecuted, I killed, and I murdered. I felt that I was doing the righteous thing, for I worshiped Yahweh God, but I had not met Jesus. She looked at him and said, "Is this true? Is this true? Is this the truth, Paul?" Paul said, "Lydia, I can't even tell you the day on the Damascus Road when the light, the shining light of the Lord himself came and struck me. He struck me blind. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I am alive." And Paul began to preach unto her Jesus. I can just imagine the hunger in her heart. Remember the first time that you hungered after righteousness? Remember the first time you asked the question? Remember the first time that Jesus smiled on you and there was a peace that surpasseth all comprehension? Do you remember the truth when he came to you? Do you remember it was inside your belly, just brewing up inside, and you knew it was truth? Everything in Lydia came alive. She began to ask more. "Tell me more about this Jesus. Please explain this to me." I'm sure Paul looked at her and said, "Lydia, do you see this river? This is a picture of Jesus." "Explain to me," Lydia asked. Paul began to explain. "Well, do you remember the one? His name was John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus. The Bible is very clear in the Old Testament to tell us one would be named John the Baptist, who was the forerunner. He came, and he was baptizing people in the name of this one who would come. Jesus himself came. He came to John the Baptist, and he said, 'John the Dipper, would you baptize me?'" You see, the word baptize means to dip. It means to immerse. It was known in that day for someone who would have a horseshoe, and they would temper it, and then they would immerse it under the water. They would dip it as to harden and seal, and they would bring it back up. So when they called John the Baptist, John the Baptist, it was because he was the baptizer. It means he was the one that was running around baptizing everyone. And then Jesus came. And Jesus came to John the Baptist, and he said, "John, will you baptize me?" And John said, "I cannot baptize you. You are Jesus." And John said, "You must baptize me, for it is the fulfillment of prophecy. I am Jesus. John, don't you understand that baptism is a picture of why I came? I came to this earth. I died on this earth, and I will rise again. By me being baptized, I am literally prophetically testifying what I'm getting ready to do with this body. Do you understand, John, that I left heaven? I put on humanity. I clothed myself in humanity so I could come. I could redeem. I could love. I could heal. I could minister to. I could die and I could rise again." Everything in John the Baptist broke because at that very moment, he understood baptism. He understood that when we are buried with him and we rise again, we literally are giving a picture of what Jesus did. You see, the Bible says that we must die to ourself and be raised in newness of life. The Bible says that when we identify with baptism, we are literally saying, "Hey, world, look at me. Look at me. I want you to testify with me of what I'm doing." When someone is baptized and they rise again, they say, "I identify with Jesus." Lydia looked at him. She said, "Paul, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" The story concludes with Lydia being baptized in the river that day and all of her household. Lydia was a prominent, wealthy, prestigious woman from Thyatira. Lydia was also the first recorded convert in Europe. God used Lydia as a leader to change the continent of Europe. What would God do with you? Have you embraced truth? Jesus said very clearly, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, you will not come into my heaven." Without Jesus. What I understood about Lydia was Lydia knew God. She didn't know Jesus. And we live in a day, my friends, where many of us hold to a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The Bible says in the last days, it tells us in Timothy, in the last days, we will deny the power therein. I believe we're seeing it in our world today. We can talk about God, we just don't want to talk about Jesus. But until you talk about Jesus, you don't understand the resurrected life. Until you have died to yourself, until you've given up your right to live your life your way, you don't step into the supernatural kingdom. You see, Lydia was a follower of Christ. Lydia embraced the truth. I want to challenge you today with a couple questions, and it's really important. I believe this is one of the most powerful lessons, because as I prepared this week, I realized a lot of us are not embracing truth. We're embracing Christianity. We're embracing church. We're embracing religion, but we're not embracing Jesus. You see, when I embrace Jesus, I'm different. Something shifted in my ministry and my person about 4 years ago when I began to really embrace Jesus and I began to understand the Holy Spirit. And I believe that there is a joy that you can't understand. There is a grace that you give that no one understands when you embrace truth, and truth is Jesus. My question to you is, are you ready to embrace truth? I want you to take your handouts with me, and I want to walk you through a couple things before our small groups. And the reason I love to tell story this way is because I think we all love story. I mean, didn't we as little children, little girls always say to our mother or sibling, tell me a story? Jesus was the best storyteller. They're called parables. And the way I describe a parable, it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. All right? If you ever read the parables of Jesus, there's two levels you can read it on. You can read it from your mind and your senses, and you can find a story. Or you can read it from your spirit, and you find a shift. Does that make sense? Jesus said, many will hear the story and not understand, because they're trying to reason in their mind. I'm going to ask you right now, in your spirit, to say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. No, I'm not worried about my girlfriend. I'm worried about me. Because you know what? You will stand alone before God. You know, I was thinking the other day, my husband and I were talking, and I love my husband, and I love my children. I love my mama. I'm getting ready to get on a plane tomorrow and go see my mom in St. Louis. She's at that age where every day's a gift. I'm just going to go spend some time with her, and I love my mom, and my dad's already there. And I have all these people I love. But when I step into eternity, I step in alone. You're not saved for anyone or through anyone other than Jesus. And he will look at me. In those eyes of revelation that are blazing with fire. And I want to hear him say, baby girl, you did well. You did well. I love you. Good job. I'm responsible for that. My choices, my actions, my obedience, my repentance, all of those things are my choice and my responsibility. And that's what truth is. My question is, are you ready for truth? Because you have to ask yourself some really hard questions, and you have to answer them. Let me just walk you a little bit through this outline. I want to take you first for a couple life applications. And for those of you joining us, we'll put this on the website, or you can take some notes right now. But the first thing is, truth comes from the Word of God. Now, guys, you're going to want to run to your girlfriend or the pastor or Google something, or I love Joyce Meyer. I'm actually going to St. Louis for two reasons. One, my mom is there, and two, I'm going to Joyce Meyer conference. All right, yoo-hoo! You know, I love Joyce Meyer. Give me some Joyce, you know? Give me some Christine Kane, you know? Give me some of these people. But you know what? It's the Word of God that answers my questions. Are you with me? And many of us don't know how to maneuver through the Bible. And I tell you this because so many women say to me, I don't even know where to go, Tammy. Where do I start? So those resources are great. Don't ever feel they're not. But truth comes from the Word of God because it's his breath. It's his word, okay? It's his heart. So you have to start with the Word of God. Put people in your life to tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. You know, we video a lot, and I'll look at Ashley, and, you know, she'll go, Mama, you look great. And I know she's lying, you know? She came today, you look great, as she's fixing the back of my hair. You know, you look great as she's fixing my makeup. Baby, you look great. Tam, you look great. Right here, Tam. Right. Go to somebody who's going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Now, you know what? We're so good in Southern California of telling everybody what they want to hear. Come on now. Anybody with me? I came from the East Coast. We moved here from outside of New York. My girlfriends in New York told me, you look fat in those jeans. That's just the New York way, you know? You come to California, and girlfriend, you look so good. Right? Now, you've got to get around some people who really will look to you and go, hey, Tam, you know what? You've really, really been busy lately, and you look tired. And I love you enough to tell you, is there anything I can do to help you? You're overloaded. What's going on? That's somebody that loves me. That's somebody that wants the best for me. They see me getting off and doing something I shouldn't be doing. They're looking on Facebook and seeing me too many places I shouldn't be. I go from red wine to white wine to rosé. They go, girlfriend, I'm seeing it, and I love you. What's going on? You know, I believe that God wants us to speak truth. Now, it's how we speak it that's the issue. Amen? It's how we do it. And you've got to give somebody permission to speak into your life. But I want to encourage you to get someone in your life. I've got a couple girlfriends who really are in my life that really tell me what I need to hear. And they speak truth, they speak life, and they're honest. So put somebody in your life. I love this because in the scripture with Lydia in 16:14, it says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. Now listen, she was ready to hear what she needed to hear. Some of you are here tonight because you're ready to hear what you need to hear. Holy Spirit's been prompting you, okay? You've been seeing something. You've been afar off. Cheryl's story, hey, I was away. I was good. I was religious. I did all that, but I was away. I mean, that's just all of our story at some season in our life or another, amen? It's just who we are. But I love this because Lydia was ready. And that's why I love when I told the story. I believe Lydia sat at the river and she wanted more. She wanted more. She wanted more. I know what that feels like. I can tell you before God, and he knows this, I cry out when I'm at the park, I want more, I want more. On my vision board, I have, you know, More magazine for 50 and over, and that's me, 50 and over, and I get More magazine. I cut every More magazine up and just put More all over my vision board. You guys have seen my, it's more, more, because I want more. And when you want more, he'll give you more when you're ready for more. Sometimes I have to journey to more. Sometimes he says, you're not ready for more, but I want more. And I believe Lydia wanted more. Next, I believe truth empowers others. See, what happens is, as we speak truth, people want that. Look what the Bible tells us right here. Lydia's heart, empowers others. Others will take action when they see you change. Look what the Bible tells us. All of Lydia's household saw the change in her and were baptized. See, people are watching you, and not just on social media. What is it for social media? I mean, seriously. I mean, is anybody honest on social media? I mean, you know, look, I'm having fun with all my friends. I don't like any of them, but they're my friends on Facebook. And we're all having a wonderful time, and I look skinny, and, do you know what I'm saying here? I mean, there's just like, it's like, shoot me now. What is wrong? I just have to stay off it. I look at people, I go, you are not happy. I just met with you. You are lying, sister. You are in the pits right now, girlfriend. You're on the runway. Oh, well, don't get me started. I just look, I go, sister, repent. Right now, you better repent because you ain't never going to be happy like that, all right? All right, truth empowers others. Others will take action when they see. And when there is an attraction, you know, when you see somebody walking in truth, and, you know, I'm going to be honest, there is nothing more freeing than truth. I don't have to lie. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to put up pretense. This is who I am, and this is where I am. I'm at peace with it. I'm on a journey. I'm not there yet. Not all days are good days. But there's something attractive about that, which leads us to the next one. Truth is attractive because Jesus is attractive. You see, when Jesus lives through you, people see it. You know, some of you are here because someone invited you, and you are saying, I see something different in you. There's something happened in you. There's a power in you. There's a happiness in you. There's a peace in you. See, Lydia led them, but they came with her. Lydia was baptized, and all of her servants and her whole household and family were all baptized. Why? Because she led them, because it was attractive. I believe truth is attractive. The scripture says, she said, come, tell me more. And then she compelled them to come into her home. So she brought Paul and Silas and all of them back into her home because she wanted more. You know when you're having a really good conversation at church? I just was with Lori D'Angelo, and church was so good on Sunday. And everybody's finally, they're leaving, and Ray, you know, R-A-D-D, he says to himself, hey, I'm going to sit on the couch. And then Lori sits on the couch, and Pastor Phil says, I'm tired, and he sits on the couch. And we just talked about Sunday. We talked about the prophecy conference. We talked about what God's doing. We start talking about the Holy Spirit. We start talking about the prayer wall. Next thing you know, it's 3:10. And I have a 4:00 meeting. And it was, seriously, that's how it was. We couldn't get out of it. Do you know how when you're with someone, we weren't talking about us. We didn't talk about our kids, although they're great. We didn't talk about clothes, although I love them. We talked about Jesus. And there's something about it that's irresistibly attractive when you talk about Jesus. I want to talk to you a little bit on your back of your page. I want to give you a coaching assignment that I think will be helpful for you. I believe that we have to put on the belt of truth. Now, if you know anything about Ephesians 6, it takes us through the different parts of our warfare. And it says that we are to put on the belt of truth. So I've got a microphone behind me, so I can't put this on real tight. I have to get up every morning and put on the belt of truth. So I get up in the morning, and my verse every morning, without exception, sometimes it might be midday, and I'm like, I haven't said it, but I say it so many times throughout the day, set a watchman over my mouth, O Lord, guard the door of my lips. Set a watchman over my mouth, O Lord, guard the... I will be with a staff member. I'll be saying, set a watchman over my mouth, O Lord, guard the door of my lips. I'll say something I shouldn't have said, and just a little, gave a little too much information. I repent. You know what, God, I went too far on that one. Forgive me. Set a watchman over my mouth, O Lord, guard the door of my lips. Because I react to my words. And before long, I'm in a word conversation with someone, like a word war. And we're either, you're talking about somebody, you're talking stinking thinking. I love Zig Ziglar. I had the privilege of speaking on the platform with him one time, and he is as genuine as they come. But he used to always talk about stinking thinking. Just stop the stinking thinking. I don't want to think stinking thoughts. I want out of my mouth to come life. I want out of my encouragement, empowerment. So when I move into one of these places where it's not coming out of my mouth, it means there's something going on in here. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm lonely, I'm insecure, I'm depressed. Those are words I go through too. So what happens is the Bible says that out of the mouth flows the abundance of the heart. So whatever you're saying is what's in here. So I gotta make sure that I do heart surgery. I gotta make sure in the morning I give my heart to God. And I say, God, I'm gonna run into people today. There's things I don't wanna say them. So would you set a watchman over my mouth, O Lord? Would you guard the door of my lips? That's truth. See, I'm put on truth. I look in the mirror, and I did it today. You know, we're doing these videos. I'm starting the movement, and you guys are taking it over. I'm going on record. I want your stories on there. I'm just, this one here, she gets me crying every time. She gets me saying things I don't want anybody to know. I mean, she is truly the producer of The Bachelor, and I feel like The Bachelorette right now. You know, and I'm like, don't tell them that part. I didn't mean to say that part. All right, so I get up in the morning, and I'm like, oh, man, where's Cynthia? I've lost my arms. You know, I need more makeup. I had Natalie do my makeup today so I don't look so old. And you start saying these things to yourself. I'm just being vulnerable and being honest. I'm getting older. You know, I just told him, I said, after the 21-day fast, I won't have the huggies. You know, and why do we see? You know, Holy Spirit just said to me, baby, see what I am doing, what I'm not doing? All you tell me is what I'm not doing. Would you give me a little bit here, Holy Spirit says? Would you just kind of see what I'm doing? Oh, man, Holy Spirit, you are. You are moving in my son's life right now. You're moving in my daughter's life. She just sent me the sweetest little script. Thank you for moving in my daughter's life. Father, you're moving in our staffs. Do you see what I'm saying? And as I speak, it more comes. As I speak, it more comes. That's what we call prophetic words. See, I start walking it out. That's truth. So I put on truth. So let me just walk you through this right now. Put on truth. Listen, you will hear many voices. Only God's voice is truth. Did you hear me? You will hear many voices, only God's voice is truth. So you have to stop and discern, God, is this you? Is this your voice? I always say, wait, pause, and let Holy Spirit prompt you. You'll know his voice. His voice sounds different. His voice always sounds different. Let me ask you a couple questions. Number one, I'm going to ask you in this coaching assessment, and that's this little belt down here on your, take this with you, that's actually a little belt. And what that was, you notice the sword in the front? So back in the day, what they would do is they would put on the belt, and there were things kind of like an army belt, and they would, you know, hook their canteen on it, and they'd hook these things on it. So that's what they did, the Roman soldiers would. And there was a place where they would hook on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So on their belt, they would hook on the sword. And the Bible tells us in this passage in Ephesians, the sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I'm going to put on truth with the Word of God. right? I want to, you know, you'd rather hear God's words than my words any day, all right? So let me ask you the first question. I want you this week, this is your coaching assignment, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you do not see with your natural eye. Now, some of you are going to get freaked out, right? Because first time he started showing me things that weren't with my natural eye, and it was him. At first, it startled me because he began to show me things in a supernatural realm. I started seeing, I call it like an open vision. I'll explain, does anybody know what that means? And we've got our prophetic conference coming up in a couple weeks, and I'm learning so much. I always tell people I'm a virgin in the prophetic world because, you know, I'm Baptist by nature. Recovering Baptist, but I'm still a Baptist. But I didn't walk in this realm, so it's kind of new for me. So how, Lisa, where am I on time? Lisa, am I good? Am I good? Do we take a moment? All right, so let me get quick. So let me just show you what happened. So when I was at IHOP and I had my first what I would call open vision, just let me show you what that means. And the staff, a lot of the staff were there, and I didn't even know this was happening. And we were praying, and I literally saw this picture as though I was looking at it. That's how real it was. It wasn't like a picture in my mind. And I saw a table. And on the table were all these puzzle pieces. And I'm sitting there, and all these, and I saw myself starting to put, and I looked over at the box, which you always do when you start to put together a puzzle because you want to know what it looks like. And it was white. And this is when Holy Spirit said to me, I'm not going to show you the picture or else you'll try to put it together. I'm putting it together piece by piece. Now you say, how do you know that was Holy Spirit? Who else would tell me that? I mean, you think I'm telling myself? No, I'm going, I'm good. I'm capable. I'm a talented person. I'm a visionary. I'm good here, God. No. See, here's how I tell people you know it's the Holy Spirit. He sounds smarter than you. He sounds smarter than you. He says things to you that you go, whoa. Now that picture's so good because he literally has brought the puzzle pieces. Ashley is a puzzle piece. Melody on staff at Hillsong left Hillsong to come here to write for us. You don't think those are strategic puzzle pieces that God is putting in this movement. So that's something I hold on to. I want to walk in his picture. I don't want to get ahead of him. I know he's putting opportunities, a book, a this or that. Those are puzzles. Does that make sense? So begin to just ask Holy Spirit, I don't really know what it's called and I'm new at this, but like, would you give me one of those things you gave Tammy? You know, would you give me like an open vision or a word, or would you speak to my heart, or would you open the Bible? Would you speak to me? See, he's personal. He's personal. And I can help coach you and teach you and explain my story to you, but this is your story. He is the God of the universe that loves you and knows you by name, who formed you in your mother's womb and has so many things for you. He wants you to know him like that. He wants you to be personal with him. Number two, I want you to sit down with one person that you really trust, and I want you to ask them honestly to tell you something that you are not seeing in yourself. And give them permission. Give them permission. Now, if the person's in the room and someone comes to you, give them grace. Be gentle. Be kind, but be honest. And then the third thing, we're going to end with this. Truth never changes, but our perspective does. See, what happens is some of us have moved away from God. God didn't change. You did. You were here, and you drifted. And he says, I'm here and I love you and you are surely welcome to come back. See, our perspective changes. We don't see God like we saw him at one time. And I want you to know he has it for everyone. I believe that the Bible is true when he says in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit. And we're going to dream dreams and have visions and young men and old men. He didn't say that to tease us. He said that to inspire us. He said that to ask for it. I'm going to ask you to get intimate with God, more intimate than you could ever be with a human being. I'm going to ask you to get alone with him in the intimacy of a closet or on a prayer walk or get alone and be still long enough till he speaks to you. All you ADD people, give Jesus about 3 seconds and then say he didn't show up, all right? And he says, when you wait long enough, then you can hear me, all right? So I want you to really begin to ask that to the Holy Spirit. And then this last thing in the bottom, the buckle, I love this, is so good. That passage is found in Ephesians. It says, stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand firm. Stand for truth. In these last days, some will but most won't. And that's the Bible. Some will, but most won't. Will you stand for truth? Holy Spirit, we come to you, and I love you. Honestly, and I'm going to just confess this, you and I talk about all the time, Holy Spirit, but I would much rather be alone with you on my prayer walks than with anybody, than even standing here. As much as I love teaching, as much as I love the Word of God, as much as I love this place, I have found an intimacy with you like none other. You have shown me my worth and my value. You have shown me my ability. You have given me dreams and visions and aspirations. You have unleashed in me an understanding that I had no idea I was missing. And God, I pray that in the name of Jesus over these women. I pray we seek truth. When we seek truth, we seek Jesus. When we seek truth, we find Jesus. So I pray as we break down in our groups tonight and we begin to discuss these questions, Holy Spirit, that you would let us be vulnerable and real and honest, that these women would be truthful enough with themselves to put someone in their life that loves them enough to tell them truth, and they would ultimately listen to you, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.